So I want to welcome you again as we are continuing in our sermon series on Message at the Movies. And in this series, we've been looking at a couple of contemporary films that provide some illustrations or examples of some timeless biblical truths. And so the first Sunday of the series, we had Belle come visit us, and we looked at the story of Beauty and the Beast, and we were reminded of the biblical truth that it is acts of love that transform our hearts and transform the world. Last week, we looked at the story of Finding Dory, and we were reminded of the truth that we all suffer occasionally from spiritual amnesia, but grace helps us find our way back home. And today, we're going to look at the movie Sully. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. So as I said, our movie for today is the movie Sully. And it is based on the real life occurrences of the United, it was U.S. Airways, I think. U.S. Airlines? Yes. U.S. Airways flight number 1549. So on January 15th in the year 2009, that airplane took off from LaGuardia in New York and was headed toward Charlottesville. And it was a very routine flight, at least initially. And the captain was Captain Chesley Sullenberger. And his co-pilot was a man named First Lieutenant Jeff Skiles. They took off, and about 2 minutes into the flight, they ran into a flock of Canadian geese, and they suffered what's called a bird strike. And the geese were sucked into actually both engines on both sides of the plane. You could actually, the passengers said that you could hear the bam as they hit this flock of geese. And there were actually flames shooting out of the left engine, and both engines lost power. And so now the captain and his co-pilot are trying to figure out what they're going to do and how they're going to manage to get people to safety. And they think maybe they will be able to turn around and make their way back to LaGuardia and land there. But they swiftly realize that they are losing altitude so fast that LaGuardia is not an option for them. And so then they consider going to maybe a smaller airport that is nearby. But again, they realize that they are not going to be able to make it to a smaller airport. And they look at the roadways, and they know that if they try to do a landing on one of the freeways there, there will be significant loss of life, not just to the passengers on the airplane, but also to civilians who are on the ground. And so running out of options, they finally decide that what they need to do is land the plane in the Hudson River. And there's a fascinating interview that took place on 60 Minutes just a few weeks after the events transpired. And Sully talks about what happened that day. And so I want you to view this clip from 60 Minutes. Go ahead, Andrew. Isn't that incredible? I mean, you think about all of the rapid fire decisions that he had to make under incredible pressure, the maneuvers that he had to perform in a minute period of time. It was 208 seconds from the time the birds struck until they landed in the Hudson. That is just amazing to me. How do you react so instinctively in a time of crisis? I think his quote was spot on. You remember when he said that, I think everything in my life to this point had prepared me for that moment. He got his pilot's license when he was 16 years old. He went to the Air Force Academy. He flew fighters in the Air Force. He was a glider pilot. So when the plane lost power, he understood the mechanics of having to glide a plane that no longer had power in it. He was a commercial airline pilot for over 30 years. And he was one who studied crash scenes in order to learn from the experiences of others what to do and what not to do. Everything in his life had prepared him for that moment. And my question this morning is, he was prepared for that moment. What are you preparing for? What are you preparing for? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope what you are spending your life preparing for is the opportunity to become more like Jesus. In the scripture passage that Melinda read for us this morning, the Apostle Paul tells us to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are to be transformed so that gradually we become more and more like Jesus. That's part of our faith journey. You know what John Wesley called that? He called it sanctification. It's an old-fashioned word for it, right? But it is the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And I think sometimes we get this kind of confused idea that our faith life has a beginning, which is, you know, we come to Christ. And our faith life has an end, which is we make it to heaven. And then there's this gap in between. And what are we supposed to do in the meantime? What are we supposed to do in that gap? What we are supposed to do in that gap is spend our time practicing what it is like to be more and more like Jesus. We practice growing in our love of God, and we do that by reading scripture. We do that by coming to worship. We grow in our love of God by studying in small groups and in Sunday school, by spending time in prayer. We grow in our love of God, and that helps us become more and more like Jesus because we are practicing that. We become more and more like Jesus as we grow in our love of our neighbors as well, as we share our time with one another, as we share our resources with one another, as we share our gifts and talents and abilities with one another, as we share financially, generosity with one another. We grow in our love of our neighbor. We are practicing what it is to be more and more Christ-like. And eventually we become transformed so that we may be more like him. So it's not just that we have this experience where we come to Jesus and become in a relationship with Christ, and then we spend our days just marking time until we get to heaven, right? We're supposed to be practicing things so that we might be molded and shaped to be more like Christ. And let me tell you, those people who practice becoming more and more like Christ, when the crisis that inevitably happens in everybody's life occurs, they respond very differently than those who have not practiced becoming like Jesus. When you don't get the promotion that you really wanted, those who have practiced becoming like Christ react very differently than those who have not. That's just the way it is. When somebody says something a little snarky to you, to your face, or on social media, those who have practiced becoming more like Christ respond very differently than those who have not. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, I've seen a lot of people face their own death. They've been diagnosed with an illness. They realize that it's terminal. And that is a crisis time for the individual and for their family. But those who have spent their lives practicing becoming more and more like Christ, face that kind of crisis very differently from those who have not. One of the most Christ-like people I know, one of the people I know who spent much of his life practicing becoming like Jesus, was a man from Ebenezer United Methodist Church. And if you attended Ebenezer, you know who I'm talking about right now, because his name was Dave Russell. Dave Russell was a man who spent his life practicing becoming like Jesus Christ. Dave Russell was diagnosed with cancer about a year and a half ago, and he passed away just a few months ago. And you know what Dave said when he was facing his own death? He said, "Why should I be upset? Because this is something that I have been preparing for my whole life, and I cannot wait to sing with my Savior." He was facing a crisis that we will all face someday. But because he was somebody who had spent his whole life practicing becoming like Jesus, he faced it in a very different kind of way. Sully Sullenberger spent his life preparing for that one moment of crisis, right? And he responded and reacted in a very different way than probably anybody else would have. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are invited to practice following Jesus so that we become more and more like him. And so when we face those inevitable times of crisis in our own lives, we will react like Christ. May God help us do just that. Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Holy God, we ask that you will help each of us practice becoming more and more like Jesus, so that when we face times of crisis in our lives, we may react with his love. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said, amen.